This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 151 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stuffgold.
What's up, everyone? What's up, TK? 151. Did you ever drink that in college?
No, what's that?
151 Bacardi Rum. Don't do it. Flaming Dr. Peppers. What's up? It's brutal.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it's you could probably start your car with it.
Bacardi's actually underrated.
Yeah.
I actually like it. It's a bit of a girly drink, but still.
Nah, Bacardi's rum. You never had a 151.
Oh,
dude, it's an American thing. College, you could literally light it on fire.
It's cheap.
It's 151 proof. So you have vodka, which is 80. Bacardi 151 is 151.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like moonshine.
It sounds.
Yeah. Speaking of fire, who we got today?
We got Yuri Elkaim, a very interesting man in America, just doing his thing. He's got a very interesting story in terms of his backstory. He used to be a soccer player, but he got a few health issues back in his younger days. But it's one of those things that I think he inspires people with his story. And he walks the walk. He's doing some great things in the fitness industry. And I think, like we spoke about a couple of episodes ago, we need guys like Yuri because he's helping the fitness industry and coaches in it become better.
100%. That wellness space, our fitness space, it's definitely one of these things that we need more coaches. We need more figureheads like Yuri in regards to telling stories about imperfections, motivating people about things that the status quo may look down upon them. Or like we tend to shy away when, like, you know, with adversity. I feel that a lot of us think that being vulnerable is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And it's important to communicate that we're all vulnerable. We're all going to go through some shit. And to have somebody deliver, convey, teach that message is very powerful.
Yeah, it's going
to
be some great advice from Yuri. He's been through his own health problems, and it's one of those things that he went through a stage where he was trying to cover up things that was happening to him, and you'll see in the episode some of the things that he did to help himself grow and evolve, and I think he's doing some great things. I'm really, really pleased to have him on today.
Yeah, Yuri, man, let's do this.
All right, before we get on, just a big shout-out to everyone out there subscribing, sharing the show. That's the best way for us to grow. Five-star reviews on iTunes are always really helpful. And like I said, tag me and Johnny in posts on social media. We love the interaction, so please.
Yeah, for sure. Get involved on Twitter. We're more active there since the American Q&A debate. You know, the Americans love Twitter. Vision Board Pod. Yeah, stay in touch with us, guys.
Yeah, if you want to see the great debate, we're trying to make it happen. If you want to see it, make sure you tell us because we want to make sure that you want it. So.
Yeah, it's Dr. Tom Villela versus Dr. Lane Norton. You guys have heard about it.
Definitely. So tag maybe Tom and Lane in some posts saying that you want to get this done.
Yeah, we're just waiting on scheduling, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, it's going down.
All right, guys, without further ado, here is Yuri Elkaim. All right, guys, our special guest is Yuri Elkaim. Yuri is a fitness and health expert and New York Times bestselling author of his book, The All-Day Fat-Burning Diet. Yuri has led an inspiring life journey and has set himself a goal of reaching 100 million people by 2040. He has been featured in the likes of Huffington Post, Ask Men, Dr. Oz, and the Yahoo News, while he's also a registered holistic nutritionist and has a high honors degree in physical education and heat health kinesiology from the University of Toronto. We welcome Yuri Elkeem. Yuri, welcome to the show, my man.
Good to be here, guys. Thank you.
Yuri, like Tristan aforementioned, your credentials speak for themselves on paper, writer, nutrition, coach, athlete, etc. We have a lot to talk about. I want to start it with a little bit about, could you explain to us the Healthpreneur Group? Share with our fans what your mission with that is.
Yeah, so Healthpreneur is a second company that I started about a year ago, and it's mostly for fitness and health entrepreneurs who want to expand their platform. So, you know, people who are tired of doing the one-on-one, tired of doing the clinical stuff, and want to build their online presence and really help more people. And I've realized that being in the health and wellness space for 20 years now, 12 years online, I've noticed that there's a lot of amazing people, a lot of amazing practitioners, trainers, nutritionists, naturopathic doctors, medical doctors, who are terrible business owners. And that's just because they're great at what they do, but not building a business. And I've kind of had to build a business in order to survive. And on that journey, I've become a lot better at marketing and messaging and all that kind of stuff. So what I want to do with Healthpreneur is really serving other health and fitness entrepreneurs who really want to grow their online presence, who may not be as savvy, in terms of like the marketing and all that kind of stuff, but also helping those who are doing already pretty well who want to get to the next level. Because, you know, we've helped a lot of amazing people in our space already, and mostly those who are doing, you know, 6 to 7 figures. So I think that's where, you know, by helping more influencers, collectively we can help more people around the world. And I just think it's an underserved space, and that's why I think that personally, I'm spending a lot of my time there because I really want to help others build their businesses more successfully so that collectively we can help more people.
Yeah, it's a very powerful thing. If you go to the website, you have this matrix of, you have mindset plus marketing, monetization, and then self-managing systems. So before we get to those points, what do you feel, or are there any necessary steps for the coach out there listening who wants to take their business online and grow their brand? What advice would you give to them today that they should make sure that they're doing to get to that next step?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So on the website, obviously you mentioned the 4M entrepreneurial success path that we have laid out, which are those 4 M's that you mentioned. What I've noticed is that most people, whether it's in the health and wellness space or just any other space in general, start off online with two main goals, which is how do I get more leads and how do I basically convert those leads into more customers. Mm-hmm. So they're focusing on two pillars that are obviously very important, but I find in order to get those two running, you have to do a lot of the pre-work, which ends up being, again, in the marketing side, looking at how do you build authority and credibility in your marketplace so that people seek you out. So I use the example of, I was at a soccer game the other night, and I don't know if you guys follow soccer or footy, as they might call it in Australia.
Yeah, definitely.
But Kaká was one of the best Brazilian soccer players probably about 8 or 9 years ago. He won the Golden Boot Award. And then he's 35 years old now. So he was sold or transferred over to Orlando in the MLS last year, and he's getting paid $7.5 million.
Wow.
So he's 35 years old. I saw the game the other night. He was up here in Toronto playing TFC, and he was okay. You know, I think he lasted maybe 60 minutes, and then they pulled him off. He's getting $7.5 million, and, you know, he's not really doing that much on the field. But the thing is, he's built his intrinsic value over his lifespan of being a soccer player to the point where now a team is willing to pay him $7.5 million per year because they know he's going to attract more people into the stadiums and the games, which makes that club more money. So that's what I call intrinsic value, is when you're building a business, if you're not providing or creating thought leadership in the sense of getting yourself out there, producing content, really helping other people in a way that really just helps you escalate this kind of ladder of authority, so people see you as like, oh my God, this is the person you need to follow for whatever topic it is, that when you have that in place, it becomes a whole lot easier to generate leads and customers. Because if you're starting from scratch and you start running Facebook ads, man, you've got to have a well-dialed-in funnel with an unbelievable offer for people to, you know, to have enough trust in you to actually do business with you versus some celebrity who everyone knows and puts up some random product. You don't even care what it is. You'll just buy it because it's a celebrity. So it's about how do you create this kind of pseudo celebrityism in your market so that the selling of stuff becomes a lot easier and not as high pressure because people just want to buy from you and do business with you because of who you are.
How long did it take you to feel comfortable, Yuri, going from your one-on-one sessions to going totally online?
Well, it took me about 7 years of doing the one-on-one to realize, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. So I need to start something else that's going to give me more leverage and help more people.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty comfortable right off the bat because I've always actually been more comfortable dealing with groups. Mm-hmm. And I just saw the internet as a big group, even though it's probably recommended to speak to the internet as one individual at a time. But I think where I struggled was I thought that I could figure this out on my own. And I spent 3 years struggling because I was too stubborn to get coaching and proper guidance. And when I finally did, that's when everything kind of opened up for me. So I think it really depends on the individual. I think coachability and willingness to learn and apply is very important. And it can really fast track your success exponentially versus, you know, trying to do stuff on your own. But I think also the benefit that most health and wellness professionals have is that they've come from a place where they've actually been working with their target audience. So they know what the problems are. They know what the challenges are. They know what the language is versus, you know, somebody starting a business because they think it's a good opportunity. And now they're having to, you know, run surveys and kind of figure out who their market is. You know, health and wellness professionals have a very unique advantage there because they've actually been dealing with people in person. So being able to take that intel and then bring it online is a pretty cool unfair advantage.
Yeah. We don't want them to actually we want people to, you know, follow you up with Entrepreneur, you know, the course, but just straight off the bat, can you give us one or two starting tips for everyone out there?
For entrepreneurs?
For actually switching into online training.
Yeah, so I would say, so first and foremost, you need to go niche. Like the more niche you can go, the better. Because everyone knows the health and wellness space is very saturated. Doesn't mean that there's not enough space for everyone, but you just have to really separate yourself from what everyone else is doing. So maybe you're the trainer for recently divorced single moms, like literally as specific as that. And I think initially the apprehension is like, well, if I narrow it down, I'm not going to be serving enough people and I'm not going to make enough money, whatever. But the thing is, you want to occupy a single space in people's minds. So when people think of like, I'm looking for X, they think of you. So try to narrow down who it is you want to serve, and more so than just I want to serve women. You know, we've got one of our clients who came to one of our workshops a couple of weeks ago. He has a business that caters to moms with kids between the ages of 6 months and 4 years, and that's their whole focus. And that's a lot more powerful than if you're just like the trainer to all moms, because you might be a mom with teenage boys. That's a very different dynamic. So if you can go, you know, the saying, the riches are in the niches, it's very true. So try to niche down and figure out, who do I want to be a hero to? Where is there a starving crowd? Where is there some pain and urgency that I can help alleviate with what I do? So that's the first thing. Second thing is to kind of tapping into that is trying to identify where there is, let me give you, I think, something a little more powerful, is focus on the offer. The biggest thing I've seen, again, across all different industries is, I bought this course, I tried this framework, and it didn't work for me. That's because the offer is the one big variable that can't be taught, right? So if you buy like product launch formula, you can do the 3 video series and the sales video. Great. Well, you've done everything right, but then your offer was terrible. No one bought it. So a friend of mine recently he actually sent me a text the other day. He did a webinar for 11,000 health professionals, I think like 400 of them showed up on the webinar, and then he sold, I think it was like 2 people. And I was like, well, what was the offer? He's like, well, I was offering my live event. And I'm like, well, that's the problem, because you're on a webinar and you're offering a live event, which is a big ask for people who don't know you, right? Maybe to your existing audience, but for people who don't know you, to buy the ticket, to commit to jumping on a plane, to doing all that, that's a big level commitment that takes a little bit of time for a lot of people to think about, not just like on a webinar. So think about how you can craft an offer that makes it irresistible for people to say yes. So if you think about, you know, whether it's a product or a service, how can you take on more of the risk so the customer takes on little to none of it? And that's why I think when you look at a lot of the free plus shipping offers, like a free book, just pay shipping, that's why they do so well, because you're basically saying, here's a free book, just cover the shipping, I'll send it to you. Versus, here's a book, it's $27, you buy it. And so really thinking through the offer is very important. And just think about, how do I take on more of the risk so the customer doesn't have to?
Yeah, you're, you bring up, you know, that, that example about, you know, the funnel, 400 people and only two people bought. That's a lot of the way you're explaining that. You're very, you know, savvy with the mindset approach, being a, almost like a predictability of your customers' behavior, like what they're going to buy into. Would you say that, yep, you know, from 7 years ago, or when you were doing those 7 years of one-on-ones, would you say that's your point of difference that, that, you know, allows you to keep growing to where you are compared to maybe somebody you were doing the one-on-ones with back then that maybe isn't in the industry anymore?
Well, I think the biggest growth, I tell people, is like entrepreneurship is the ultimate spiritual journey. Like, you learn so much about yourself in having your own business that's like, it's unparalleled. So I think we're most, again, most technicians, like nutritionists, trainers, people that are good at a certain craft, they start a business. But I think Michael Gerber talked about this in his book, The E-Myth, as well, which is, you're great at what you do, but you're not a business owner. You're not a CEO. So either you hire someone to do that stuff for you, or you're forced to learn how to do that yourself. So I think what was able to allow me to achieve the success that I've achieved, and I measure success by impact, and obviously the type of life that I'm able to live on a daily basis. For me, if I'm able to impact more people, it's solely because I've created something that people want, and I've learned how to get it in front of more people. When I go back to, you know, let's say 12, 13, 14 years ago, working in a gym with those trainers who are still working in that same gym, either, you know, obviously they're happy doing what they do, that's fine, but they just haven't developed the chops, the skill set to build a business or understand, how do I get my thing in front of more people? And that's, there's nothing, I'm not kind of talking down to them. I'm just saying, it's being your own business, you're forced to kind of feed yourself. You have to figure things out, and you throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and you're like, okay, that sucked. That didn't work. Oh, this one did. What do we do here? What, how did this, why did this one work? And you start learning about what compels people, what motivates people, what influences people. And you start just doing more of that. And that's really, I think, really been my key to success. Just, I've failed a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've just made a couple big wins and, you know, looked at what's worked and kept doing more of that. And I think that's really been my secret.
What are some of your business goals or some of the opportunities you see for yourself in 2017?
Yeah, so business goals, our health business, where we're more to the consumer, we made a conscious decision a couple months ago to focus solely on one product of ours. And it's a greens powder called Energy Greens. And we feel we have a really cool competitive advantage in the marketplace based on the quality of it, the taste, and the way we're positioning it. We also noticed that it's been our best-selling product internally for about 3 years. So we're like, why don't we just make this our sole focus? Because we've noticed there's, in at least in our space, it's a little bit tougher to sell information products now compared to what it was 10 years ago. So there's a huge price erosion in the market, and we just found it a lot easier to sell consumables. So we're solely focused on this. We're looking to just really blow this up big time. And so that's one of the big things we're excited about for this year. And on the healthpreneur side, we have a big event happening in Scottsdale in September called Healthpreneur Live. We're bringing together 200 leading health, fitness, and wellness entrepreneurs together for 3 days. And it's going to be an amazing conference that is not a pitch fest. All the speakers are doing 7 and 8 figures in their own online businesses. And the whole theme of the event is connection. So really creating a Four Seasons-like experience with exposure to amazing people, big ideas, and marketing strategies to help multiply your online presence. And so that's what we're spending a lot of time building up to. So those are the two big things that I'm excited about this year.
I think I read recently, Eric Cressy, wrote an article about, you know, whether or not one-on-one coaching and one-on-one training is dead. And it was, you know, you hear that a lot come up in blogs and on podcasts. From where you started, and like the industry keeps evolving, technology, social media, what's your opinion on that? Do you think that it is? And if so, what's your vision for the industry moving forward?
Yeah, I think more than ever, there's going to be a bigger and bigger need for one-on-one stuff. So I think the more technologically advanced we get, the more there's going to be a greater need for one-on-one touch. So even if that's, hey, my client is in Australia, I'm in Canada, that level of personal touch can never be replaced. And if you look at Jeff Bezos from Amazon, a lot of people ask him, like, you know, what's going to change in the future? And he's like, well, we look at what's not going to change. So they build their whole business around fast service, great customer service, things that people are never or they're always going to want. And I think the more technological, the more tech we get in terms of business, personal life, the more disconnected people feel. And I think there's going to be businesses that provide a great product and service are going to be able to charge a premium because they're able to tap into that desire for higher touch and connection. So I think it's very optimistic if you're an online trainer or anyone providing a higher level of service versus just, hey, buy this product. And I think that's something that's going to only become more popular as the world becomes more disconnected.
Do you still do the one-on-ones?
So I don't do the one-on-ones on the kind of consumer side because it's just I haven't done so for like 11 years and there's people that are way better at doing that stuff. On the business side, I also realized that I don't enjoy doing the one-on-one because I suck at it. What I'm really good at doing is one on a few. So we have, I've been leading small implementation workshops, you know, 8 to 16 people for the past few years. And like that stuff I love doing. We also have a mastermind group with some pretty awesome rock stars. And that's my ability to really connect with a smaller group of people, but really impact them on a very personalized level. And so that's mostly the work, you know, if you want to call it one-on-one, that I do on the business side.
Yeah, just thinking of business before we move away. Social media, Yuri, where are you finding your main success, and what do you see kind of the changes happening in the next couple of years?
Yeah, so this is a good question. I'm actually writing a book on this. It's this whole concept I've kind of developed or kind of thought through called Unscale. And what I've noticed, so basically the way that I run things so my health business is different. It's been around for 12 years. We've got a decent following, not huge, but decent on Facebook. And with Healthpreneur, we literally just launched our Facebook page 2 months ago. Because initially I was like, you know what, I don't want to do this. I just want to run everything off my personal profile. And then I was like, hold on, if I don't have a page, I can't run any ads. So that kind of limits me. So we set up a page a couple months ago. But getting started now is very tough, growing things, even with paid traffic, unless you're spending a lot of money. So what I realized, I'm like, okay, listen, what's the ultimate objective? My ultimate objective is to get people into higher priced workshops or live events or my mastermind, right? These are all high ticket items. So am I going to run Facebook ads to do this? Am I going to put up Facebook posts and Instagram quotes all day long and hopefully this will happen? No. So what I decided to do is I went through my quote unquote 5,000 friends on Facebook who I don't even know. And I went through all their profiles, and I'm still doing this to this day. Look at their profiles and like, is this someone I want to get to know better? Is this someone who's doing some really cool things in the world who I might be able to support? And I'll reach out to them and I'll be like, hey, apparently we're friends on Facebook, but I feel bad that I don't really know you. So do you have like 10 or 15 minutes in the next week or two to jump on a quick Skype call to see what you're up to and see if I can support you in any way, shape, or form? And that's it. It's all about them. I'm like, I'm not selling anything. It's not even about like the selling of stuff. It's just like, I actually want to connect with people to see what they're up to and if I could support them.
Yeah.
For the people who don't respond, I just unfriend them. For those people who do respond, they obviously just book a time to chat. We jump on Skype, and it's the biggest needle mover in my business. It's I call it unscale because it's not scalable. It's not something I'm going to delegate to a VA in the Philippines. Like, this is something I actually care about doing. I want to get to know these people.
Yeah.
If there's someone I can support, that's great. If they're not, maybe I can refer them somewhere else. But it's infinitely more powerful in terms of, if you want to call it conversions to whatever, spending 15 minutes on a video Skype chat with somebody versus trying to tweak and master some automated funnel that you'll be lucky if you get conversions 1/10 of what it would be like, again, kind of this in-person type of communication. So that's how I'm using social. I'm using social media in a way that I feel is actually just is social, is like really getting to know people and not automating, you know, any of this stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned, so, you know, you got the book you're working on, and we talked about the Healthpreneur Group. And would you say, are you using this, like, is your avatar, your niche, the same for all of your projects? Or are you compartmentalizing, like, the trying to develop the coach here and then the general pop wanting them to be healthy here? Is it all under the same umbrella?
No, it's different. Two completely different businesses. So our kind of to the consumer health business is, you know, we're talking to people who are like, we've got a couple avatars. One of them is a 65-year-old postmenopausal single mom who doesn't want to work out. She doesn't want to do the work. She'd rather just buy something off QVC. And that's the audience that we're speaking to for that, right? So for them, everything is all about just like goodwill content and then obviously some product offerings that are suitable to them on the health and fitness side, actually mostly health and nutrition side. But we also, within our list, we also know that we have a lot of health professionals that are on our health list. So occasionally, I'll send an email to our entire health list and I'll let them know, hey, we've got this cool thing going on. If you're a health or fitness professional, let me know and we can go from there. So very different markets. The healthpreneur is mostly to business owners who are getting started or who are doing fairly well and want to get to the next level, obviously in the health and wellness space. And then the others are consumers who want to improve their health.
Yeah. You're with running two businesses and you're a father, you're a husband. How do you manage, you know, your life work balance?
Yeah. So thankfully I've got a team around me who supports me, because if I didn't have a team, I would not be able to spend as much time on Healthpreneur as I want to. So my highest level of value that I provide to my company on the health side is strategy and video. That's it. I don't need to do anything else. So over the years, I've done a lot of stuff. A lot of time has been wasted, whatever, but now I've got a team of 12 people. They're great at what we do. We're great at what they do. And we've set up systems and kind of machines that have allowed me to clone myself, and I don't really need to be that present in a lot of that stuff anymore. So I'll come in for overarching strategy for, you know, a new product launch or a new thing we're designing or something like that. And then that's kind of it. If I've got to record a webinar or shoot some videos, I love doing that stuff. So that's totally fine. That takes about 10% of my time on average. The 90% of my other time is spent on building Healthpreneur, because it's relatively, you know, we launched it September 2015, even though we'd been running masterminds for the past 3 years, kind of behind the scenes. You know, we're kind of growing this from the ground up. So that's taking more of my time. It's less of a scalable business. We actually want to build this business to be low volume, high touch. So it's a very different business model. And so that's personally where I'm spending more of my time. It's very fulfilling too, because I'm much more connected to the end customer as opposed to, hey, just buy this $10 ebook. So that's kind of how I split my time on the work side of things. In terms of balance, like, you know, in terms of work and life. So I've got 3 boys. 3, 4, and 6 years old. Thankfully, they're all in school. So I dropped them off at 9. I picked them up at 3. So it gives me like this forced constraint of 6 hours to get stuff done. And I basically, I'm like, listen, if I can't get the most important work done in 5 to 6 hours a day, I'm doing something wrong. If I have to work 40 to 60 hours a week, something isn't right here. So I base everything I do around working smarter, not harder. I don't mind working hard for a few days if I'm building something that's leveraged, like a system or a process. But to do like grunt work 10 hours a day, it's not going to happen. So I've purposely built my business around systems and cloning where possible. And then where it's not scalable, looking at, is this use of time really going to be that valuable for me? Is this conversation really going to move things forward? Is this someone I should really be speaking with? And that's kind of how I mitigate my time and manage my time as effectively as possible. Yeah. And so, I mean, there are times where things are, you know, I don't know if work-life balance can be truly achieved on a consistent basis. I think you've got seasons in life and seasons in business where there's a time for a little bit more hard work if you're launching something new. Maybe there's a time for, you know, to kick back and watch how things, you know, go after you've planted your seeds and kind of sowed the fields for a while. And I think you just have to be honest with you and your family about, okay, here's what's happening right now. I need a bit more time for myself, or hey, let's take off for 2 weeks because we got all this stuff running now and we can kind of chill for a bit. And so that's kind of the way that I run it.
Yeah, Yuri, before we started our recording off air, Tristan and I were complimenting your website. It's very, very clean cut. You add amazing content. You give a lot away for free. And you're very open talking about the adversity that you had gone through in your teens. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, maybe you could share some stories with our fans about, you know, the importance of the adversity, how you're able to use that for motivation. And for anybody listening at home who maybe you're shying away or wanting to overcome some adversity, some advice for them.
Yeah, totally. So adversity on the health side, I grew up on a very poor diet, just, you know, single mom, not a lot of time to make food at home. And so I had a lot of issues health-wise, asthma, eczema, digestive issues, really low energy to the point of sleeping like half my life and still feeling pretty exhausted. And they weren't that bad. Well, I mean, some of them were pretty bad. I mean, the eczema was pretty bad at times, but I never really clued into why that was going on or what I should do about it. So my body said, okay, we're going to send you a stronger signal and you'll maybe pay attention to this. So when I was 17 years old, in the space of 6 weeks, I lost all of my hair, eyebrows, eyelashes, everything, to an autoimmune condition. And that was a good wake-up call. So that really got me thinking, okay, what the heck am I doing? What's going on? Kind of led me down this journey of trying to figure out my own issues. And on route to that, realized that I really enjoyed health and fitness and want to support other people on their journey as well. But what I realized is, like, I'm actually kind of grateful that that happened, because I was a bit of a hothead before all that.
Yeah.
You know, I was like a good student, good athlete, good looking, whatever. And this was like a good kick in the ass. And I was like, it gave me a good kind of perspective shift on like what really matters in life. And thankfully I had a good group of friends who were very supportive at the time. And so was my family. And I think I had a good head on the shoulders as well, because I didn't really take it too hard. I just kind of rolled with it. And I was like, you know what? It can be worse. I mean, I could have, you know, fibromyalgia or multiple sclerosis. It's only hair. It's not that big of a deal. But I think, you know, every adversity is the seed to some amazing opportunities. And I don't know. Like, I mean, it's tough to know what my life would have been like had I not gone through that health challenge. But because I did, it really has given me a platform or a kind of a jumping trampoline into what I do now, which is really passionate about helping people improve their health. Because my overarching mission, be it business or health, is to help end suffering, because I've suffered both on the health side as well as on the business side, and it sucks. And if I can do my part in helping people end their suffering so that they can take better control of their health, they can take better control of their business, that's what I'm here to do. And that's, you know, that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. That's why, even if I won $100 million in the lottery tomorrow, nothing would change. I would still continue doing the same stuff I do every single day because I love it. And I think when it comes to adversity, I'll share one story that I think is really important. It was a big eye-opener for me. So when I was 25, I went back to school, studied holistic nutrition, literally healed all my health issues, regrew all my hair, kept my head shaved because, you know, after about 7 or 8 years, it became my claim to fame. But I regrew everything else. And for the next, if you've seen any of my videos on YouTube, you'll see videos where I've got like really bushy eyebrows and facial hair and the whole bit. And then there's other videos that look a little bit different. So what happened was about 4 years ago, I took my oldest son to the doctor. And when I was at the doctor, she recommended I get a tetanus shot. And I was like, sure, why not? I didn't even question it. It was kind of ridiculous. So within 2 weeks, I started losing my hair again. But by this time, I'd already built up a pretty substantial business and was kind of like this, you know, leader in health to some degree. And so instead of coming clean about what was going on, what I did for the next 2 years was I used my wife's makeup to paint on my eyebrows every single morning because I was afraid of what people might think. And that was really tiresome because I'm like, my workouts were toned down because I didn't want to sweat away the makeup. I didn't want to go swimming with my kids. I didn't want to go like running in the rain, all these things that would, you know, potentially wash away this mask. So 2 years later, I was at an event and I'm like, some really interesting stuff happened. And I was like, you know what? Like, screw this. I'm done with the makeup. And came back to Toronto And that was probably the scariest moment of my life. Was not the first time I lost my hair. I was kind of okay with that. Mm. I shot a YouTube video for my audience on YouTube, and it was like me with no makeup on, just like, you know, naked, not full body, but just, you know, my face. And I said, this is what's going on. You may notice something different. Here's what's happening. So I came clean with my audience. I came clean with myself. I removed the veil, the mask, and I just said, here's the deal. And that was the most scared I've ever been shooting a video or doing anything, which was very interesting because I was like, well, what are people going to think? Are they going to think I'm like, you know, whatever? So the response to that video was absolutely unbelievable. And one of the things I learned from that was that by being myself, I was allowing other people to be themselves as well. And by sharing your story, you allow other people to connect with you at a much deeper level. And so I think, you know, for anyone going through a challenge, you know, this is one of the things that's going to help separate you in business is share your story. Share your story in a way that people can resonate with and connect with. Because I've never dealt with excess weight. I've never been an overweight kid. But I can connect with women and men who are overweight because I understand the feeling of feeling like an outcast, of feeling like, is this even my body? And I can identify with those emotions. And so that's how I connect with that specific tangible outcome. So I think if you don't share your story, you're doing a massive disservice to yourself, but also to the people that could potentially be following you because of your story.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
That's a fantastic story. You actually stole my question. I had that lined up all morning to ask you about that because I thought it was an absolutely brilliant part of what you actually showed to everyone. So
you mean that the YouTube?
The YouTube with the specific. Yeah, because you had a whole article about the eyebrows and things like that. Yeah. And that's something I think
it's scary, man.
Yeah, very scary. But you know, your creativity is actually is quite brilliant. One of the ones I was reading the other day was about carb backloading, and you named it Pancakes for Dinner.
Yeah.
I loved it. But can we talk a little bit about, you know, get a bit of education on carb backloading? And then also let's touch on how you just come up with such creative sort of titles and videos. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'll say on the title side of things, that's just practice. And I remember when I first started online, I was sending out emails with the subject line, like April newsletter. So, you know, things have come a long way since then. And it's just I've learned about copywriting and, you know, what gets people to click. So there's like elements of persuasion and copywriting that are all infused in everything that we do. So on the carb backloading side, it was interesting. So my book, The All-Day Fat Burning Diet, talked a lot about, you know, carb cycling and caloric cycling to help burn fat and just kind of like get over some stuck plateaus. But one of the concepts is this idea of eating carbs later in the day, known as carb backloading. I think Schwarzenegger talked about this back in the 70s. And we've been led to believe that we need to be having more of our carbs in the morning, because if we eat them later in the day, our body's going to store them as fat. And this is the thing that really bugs me about the health space, is that there's so much nonsense that it's like, where did you hear this from? And where did they hear this from? And where did they hear this from? And it goes back like decades to, like, I don't even know the source. Like for instance, eating every 2 to 3 hours is necessary to keep your metabolism up. What? Like, how does that make sense? You know, it's like, because we use bad metaphors. We're like, well, if you had a fireplace and you didn't feed it would die out. Well, your metabolism is not a fireplace. Here's what happens if you eat all the time. Your insulin goes up and your blood sugar goes up. And if you have too much insulin, you have higher inflammation. If you have too much insulin, you're going to store more as fat because insulin is a storage hormone. And that's not a good thing. So once you like, I'm really passionate about teaching people about human physiology, because if you understand this stuff, then you can easily just push away all the nonsense. So with respect to carb backloading, part of the problem is that we've been, again, for decades, have been indoctrinated by the food companies, right? Particularly cereal companies like Post, General Mills, and so forth, that we have to have cereal first thing in the morning. And breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I guarantee there is an ad at some point in time that, you know, got that started. So the dilemma is, well, if I've been told that I should be eating carbs earlier in the day, and now you're saying that I shouldn't, what am I supposed to believe? Well, here's the thing. If you understand how your body operates, it makes a lot more sense. So here's how things work. In your body, when you wake up first thing in the morning, your cortisol levels are at the height of where they're going to be all day long. From that point on, cortisol should dip all the way until about bedtime. So what cortisol does is cortisol is a stress hormone. It's neither good or bad. It's just how much of it you have or don't have, which becomes the issue. Well, one of the things that cortisol does is it manages blood sugar levels. So in the morning, you haven't been eating for, let's say, 8 to 10 hours. So cortisol is highest. It's going to break down stored energy to keep your blood sugar stable, right? So it's going to break down some stored glycogen into blood sugar, keeps your blood sugar stable. The problem, though, is if now you, let's say, have pancakes or cereal or a muffin or any of those kind of carbohydrates in the morning, those carbohydrates naturally elevate blood sugar levels. So what that does is it sends your body a signal to say, okay, we have sugar coming in from outside. Cortisol, you can take a back seat. So cortisol in the morning starts going down, which is not good because now you're starting to really disrupt your circadian rhythm. And as we go later, the other thing too with eating too many carbs in the morning is that you're spiking your blood sugar, spiking insulin. You're going to store more of that as fat. You're going to go on this whole up and down blood sugar energy roller coaster. You actually have more cravings throughout the day. Not a good thing. So if we have carbohydrates later in the day, here's what happens. First and foremost, you're not going to be storing carbohydrates as fat. If you have an excess of calories over time and your whole metabolism is messed up, that's going to be the issue. But having more carbohydrates later in the day is not that big of a deal, unless you know your diet overall is terrible and you're never active and stuff like that. But when we're eating carbohydrates later in the day, what that does is it helps to suppress cortisol later in the day, which is where it should be later in the day. And so what happens there is we're not just talking about, see, the thing is we have to look beyond just the calories and beyond whether it's a carb or protein, because foods are more than just like one macronutrient. But the thing is, over time, when you disrupt your circadian rhythm, your hormone rhythm, that's the big issue. That's how you start getting into metabolism problems and you can't lose weight no matter what you try and all that kind of stuff. That happens over time. It doesn't happen overnight. So what I'm suggesting is, without being fanatical about it, just don't worry about the fact that, hey, it's okay if I have pancakes for dinner. It's probably actually better if I had them for dinner than if I had them for breakfast. But obviously our culture has trained us to have pancakes for breakfast and brunch and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not about obsessing about this stuff, but it's just about understanding I'm better off having, if I'm going to have breakfast, have more protein in the morning, which is going to keep me full longer, stabilize my blood sugar. It's not going to ruin the cortisol levels where they need to be, and maybe have more carbohydrates later in the day. And especially if you're active, that's just a good plan anyways.
How old are you this year?
How old am I? That's a good question. 37.
How's your training changed much over the last few years?
Oh, huge. Totally. Yeah. So when I was playing soccer back in my early 20s, probably all the way up into my late 20s, I was big into like metabolic training, right? So full body exercises,
yeah.
go, sweat it out, lie on the gym floor and exhaustion afterwards. That's not happening anymore. I'm like, I've got 3 kids. They're enough like for my adrenals to handle already. So my training now is very intuitive. So I lift heavy, but I train like a sprinter. Like I'll do a set of deadlifts or a set of squats, and then I'll just read for a few minutes. And then I'll do another set. So it's not like go. Like sprinters, if you've ever seen them train, they'll sprint 100 meters and then they'll call a buddy on the phone for 10 minutes, you know, and then they'll warm up again and do it again. And for me, that's what I found to be the best. So I train for strength. I train for power. I don't train for fat loss. You know, I'm lean enough as it is. I train to stay strong. And I'm a huge tennis fan, so I play tennis fanatically. And if I can be better on the tennis courts and stay healthier off the tennis courts, then that's pretty much how I train nowadays. So it's always been very specific to sports. When a tennis player to being just, you know, stronger in general. So I do a combination of heavy lifting days, And then I'll do some, you know, the occasional run, just, you know, if I feel like it, like yesterday it was pouring rain and I just had this weird idea, like, I'm just going to go running in the rain. So I went for a 5K run, but 5K for me is long distance.
Yeah.
Most of my running is intervals. It's, you know, hill sprints. Otherwise, my cardio is skipping rope. So it's very intuitive. It's not structured. It's like, if I feel like doing this today, that's what I'm going to do. If I don't feel like doing this today, I'm not going to do it. So it's the complete opposite of what I recommend for people to do, unless you really understand your body and you can say, somewhat consistent to a schedule that is not structured, but that's just what's worked for me.
Yeah, what about on the nutrition side? I heard you on Jay Faruja's show, and you talked about switching majority to a plant-based diet, so you're about 80-20 in terms of meats and plants. Are you still running that?
Yeah, for the most part. Again, I don't count anything. I don't worry about percentages. I just kind of listen to my body. I know that I operate best when I'm mostly raw vegan, but I'm not raw vegan. So my whole approach is getting a lot more greens, a lot more alkalinity into my body, because I know that that for me is the game changer. So I focus a lot on greens. I actually don't eat a lot in general. Mm. I just don't eat to as much as I used to. So I don't really have any food until mid-afternoon. And then I tend to have my dinners around 4 or 5 because my kids tend to eat at that point. So we just have a family dinner really early. And then I'm kind of done. So I have like maybe a 6-hour window where I just get a lot of food in. And outside of that, I don't really eat. So I'm usually drinking like a green juice or a green smoothie or nothing at all, maybe just some water with apple cider vinegar. And then I'll just crush some food later in the afternoon. So that's typically how it works. And then I don't worry too much about, you know, if I'm, you know, getting too much meat or too little meat, but I do my best to get a lot of veggies in because I realize that that's the foundation. And yeah, so I try to keep it pretty simple.
Yeah, that greens formula that you mentioned at the top of the show, what's the key ingredients in that one?
Well, the key ingredients are all of them. So we have a lot of companies use like 100 ingredients. Yeah, they think more is better. Well, we believe that less is more. So we have 8 ingredients: chlorella, spirulina, barley grass, alfalfa, maca, vanilla, cinnamon, and goji berry. And those are all USDA certified organic, all raw, all gluten-free. And so all of them combined have really cool synergistic effects. Like goji berry has the highest ORAC rating, which is the highest rating of antioxidants of any food on the planet. So you're getting huge antioxidant benefits from that. Mm-hmm. Chlorella is a known detoxifier. It chelates heavy metals out of the body. It's also very high in protein, as is spirulina. You have barley grass and alfalfa, which are, like spirulina and chlorella, very deep in green, so they have a huge amount of chlorophyll, which is a blood builder. It's very, very good for raising alkalinity in the body, which is your body needs to be slightly alkaline, your blood specifically, in order to feel and really be in good health. And then you have things like cinnamon and vanilla, which we use for more flavor than anything else, but cinnamon has a beautiful aroma, but also has really good blood sugar maintenance properties, right? So for diabetics, it's very, very powerful. So I basically developed this thing in my kitchen 3 years ago. I had all the raw ingredients and I was like tinkering around, and it took me about 4 months to finally come up with the right combination. And so that combination has been tremendous. Maca is very, very powerful too, because it's an adaptogen that helps your body manage and deal with stress better. It's really powerful for men for libido, helps women with menopausal issues. And overall, it just helps your body kind of regulate its hormones more effectively. But the other, the two big differentiators with our products is that, A, it tastes amazing. So we don't use any sweeteners, no stevia, no minty flavors, nothing. We sweeten ours, if you want to call it sweeten, with cinnamon, vanilla, and goji berry. So the combination of those flavors really gives it a beautiful, velvety, smooth, and really aromatic type of flavor that is neutral enough to go with a lot of different things. So you can throw this into smoothies. You can do all sorts of cool stuff because it's not like a in-your-face Kool-Aid type of taste. And secondly, we use a higher quality. It's a higher quality product because of the way that the nutrients are extracted. Most greens powders use grass powder. Mm-hmm. We use grass juice powder, which means that we juice the ingredients first, then we freeze dry them, then they're turned into a powder. So what that means is all the fiber is removed. You get more of the nutrients. Most others that use grass powders, they're basically just cutting the lawn and putting it into a powder. So you're getting all that fiber, all that grittiness. It doesn't mix well in water. And so that's why ours is higher quality, better tasting, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. What's the best way for people at home to actually buy some of this? Straight off the website?
Yeah, the website is getenergygreens.com.
Excellent. All right, Yuri, let's move into the personality part of the interview. Johnny's got the first question.
Yeah, Yuri, here I usually ask a question about having bad days, but lately a lot of my clients, they always ask me, you know, what to do on the weekends. So for anybody out there who's struggling, you know, they do the Monday through Friday healthy, you know, they train, they eat right, but then Friday night comes and everything kind of, the house of cards collapses. What advice do you have to those people to maintain their health and wellness through the weekend?
Just get up and live the next day. Like, just make tomorrow better. Like, don't worry about, like, I think the problem is that we tend to get very focused on, like, oh my God, it's not perfect, or yesterday was bad, so today is going to be a write-off. Just get up and live tomorrow. Like, if we had amnesia, it might be better off sometimes. We might be better off sometimes. Or just, like, start the next day. It's fresh, clean slate. Just go. But also, like, give yourself permission to indulge. Like, again, this is a personal philosophy, but, you know, I'm a big foodie, and that's why all the recipes I create are, they taste amazing, but they're also really healthy. So in our house, we have Crepe Saturdays, which also turned into Crepe Thursday nights yesterday. But, you know, the crepes are, they're made out of buckwheat and tapioca, so there's no gluten. So on that side, there's no gluten, there's no dairy. We use almond milk in there. We, you know, throw on some Nutella with some strawberries and bananas, so it's a little bit more indulgent. But, you know, it's nice. Like, we enjoy the fruits of life, and if I can do my best to be as healthy as possible for most of my days, then I can go into those meals without any guilt. Like, I've got, like, zero remorse or guilt for anything I eat. Now, with that said, I don't go, like, over-the-top binging. But if I have, like, yesterday at lunch, we were at this restaurant, and they had this thing called a Christmas burger. I'm like, what's the Christmas burger? They're like, well, it's a turkey burger with stuffing and, like, cranberry sauce on top and, like, a potato bun, so a potato flour bun.
Ooh, wow.
I'm like, that sounds pretty amazing. I'm going to get that. And so I'm like, why not, right? I'm going to enjoy it. It was, you know, good quality ingredients. The fries were amazing. And I know that if I had that for lunch, I'm probably not going to feel as energized afterwards. But you know what? That's a trade-off I'm willing to make. It was good. I'm happy I enjoyed it. So, yeah.
All right, next question. We're going to take you back to your childhood. What posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
Oh, it was all soccer. I think I had posters of, like, Barcelona and Brazil. I had the Brazilian national flag on my wall. I just had posters of soccer stadiums that I wanted to play in. It was 100% soccer.
Yeah, who's your favorite team?
I'm really fickle. Like, I will jump ship like that. And I say that because I don't care about, like, oh, I'm a diehard, like, Liverpool fan or whoever.
Yeah.
I just like watching really good really soccer. Good. Like, even when I played, so I played professionally for a number of years, and even when I stopped playing and played at a decent level, you know, in the men's league and close to where I live, I would enjoy games where we would lose just because the other team was really good. And I was happy and grateful to be part of such a good experience versus those games where you win like 12-0 and the other team are a bunch of hacks. Mm-hmm. So I've always just appreciated good quality anything. So if it's another team that's great quality, hey, you know what? You guys beat us fair and square. You guys are better. It was great to be part of that. So yeah, for me, I like Barcelona. I think they play some great ball. Bayern Munich plays amazing. Those are probably the two of the teams that I kind of gravitate to right now.
I definitely agree, man. When soccer's played at its highest level, it's like art. And World Cup is probably one of my favorite times of the year. All right, Yuri, if three of your closest friends were sitting at a table and you weren't in the room, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
Oh, this guy's a douchebag. they would say that I'm kind of like, who you see is who I am. So I'm very authentic. I guess I'm kind of real. I'm not phony. I'm not fake. Who you see of me online is who I actually am in person. Very goal-driven, they'd probably say as well. And what else? Very giving, I'd say as well.
All right, final question. You're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You got 5 invites, only rules, no family or friends, but it can be anyone dead or alive. Who are you inviting?
Say Tony Robbins, because he's definitely impacted my life. in a big way. Ian Somerhalder from Vampire Diaries. It's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I just go found out. Yeah.
I've got a weird man crush on him. That's it's crazy. Yeah, totally weird. Roger Federer.
Very good.
Who else? I don't know. I think those are probably the three of the top ones that I can think of right now. There's probably some females that I should have on there as well that I can't think of. I don't know. I've got a total brain fart. But those.
You owe us too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, everyone at home, get following Yuri. He's online at www.yurielkame.com. Facebook, yurielkame1. Twitter, yelkame. And YouTube. He's got a great YouTube channel, YLKame1, and we'll have that all in the show notes. Yuri, thank you so much for stopping by. You've been fantastic, and thank you for sharing your story and your messages, man.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Yuri, thanks a lot for sharing the space, man. I'm one of those 5,000 friends, so send me a message.
Totally, dude. Thank you.
All right, brother. Be good. Yep.
Guys, that was yurielkame.
That was awesome, man. Definitely a very, very important message there in regards to being comfortable in our own skin and, you know, believing in yourself and pushing forward and developing. And Yuri is a very important part of that.
Yeah, I'm really glad that he shared that story about when the eyebrows.
Yep, that's
I think
right.
That was a very important message in terms. I think we all try to kind of hide our little kind of
imperfections,
yeah. And at the end of the day, sometimes we're the only people watching them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so true.
We all kind of think that the world's watching us, but in terms of growth and in terms of moving forward, I think he sent some really great messages. And if you didn't sink in, I think maybe you should go back and just check it out again, because I think he does have some important messages about moving on and also embracing some of your imperfections. I think we all have got them, and it's just the way it is.
I feel that that's any coaches listening, I'm talking to you. I think that's where you're going to connect with your audience and your avatar is when you know, we understand collectively as coaches that our clients, the people, the public who need help, they want to relate to us. You know what I mean? I feel in our space, Tristan, that I'll use Instagram, for instance. We think as coaches we got to put up photos that make us look like Hercules and fucking, you know, that sort of thing. Rather than people don't want to see that. People want to see things that they could relate to. And Yuri's a perfect example of that. And understanding that we all have things that are, you know, nobody. You're never going to get the full story of what's going on underneath the skin when you know face to face.
Yeah,
it's more about understanding that we're all struggling with something.
Yeah, I think you made some great points about that, because those imperfections and. Just the being relatable is huge for me in terms of coaching people and seeing people's struggles, and people like to know that you've been in their shoes before. And I think he's a perfect example, and I think his story is something that will touch a lot of people and help people grow.
Yeah, it was definitely enjoyed it.
All right, guys, next week on the show, we've got Brett Contreras and Drew Manning, two great guys again in this kind of wellness space that I think they've got great stories and they will help you. Brett is the glute guy and
fit,
Drew.
To fat, to fit, yeah, to man. Fat, to fit, to fat, to fat.
That's interesting.
For sure. It is when you think about it. Like, because you read about it, it's a story, but then it's turned into a movement.
Yeah.
Like with this whole, like the deeper message of being compassionate. That's very powerful. And Drew Manning is one of these guys. I mean, Brett, probably most of you guys listening right now will know Brett.
Brett is, yeah.
Yeah, but Drew is one of these important figureheads. And like, I love listening to the podcast I listen to when I fall upon a new person that I never heard of. And then you're like, oh, shit, I got a new person to learn from. And Drew's going to be one of those guys for you.
No, I can't wait. So, guys, subscribe to the show. iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Follow Johnny at...
Johnny Stofko, all socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facey, new YouTube channel, getting it off the ground. Johnny Stofko, love for you to subscribe.
There you go. I'm Tristan Cannell Fitness across all my stuff, or Tristan Cannell. So get in touch, and we will keep producing some great shows.
Keep bringing it, TK, big homie.
All right, Johnny, I'll check you next week.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working hard at it. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.